Close it out tonight. This is going to be the last of the in the series. I'm just getting weary of studying Hebrews. But there are 13 times, I'll just review them rather quickly with you. There are 13 times the word better is used in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 1, verse 4, we studied Jesus being better than the angels. In chapter 6, verse 9, he said, "Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you." In chapter 7, verse 7, he says, "Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better." In chapter 7, verse 19, the bringing in of a better hope. In chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus was made a surety of a better testament. In chapter 8, verse 6, he is the mediator of a better covenant, established on better promises. In chapter 9, verse 23, better sacrifices. Chapter 10, verse 34, in heaven, a better and enduring substance. In chapter 11, verse 16, we desire a better country, that is a heavenly. In chapter number the three we're going to talk about this evening is a better resurrection, a better thing, and better things than that of Abel. So I'm going to conclude the series this evening. I'm going to read the section that I put in your notes in that chapter 11, beginning of verse 32 through 40. Close out the chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning of verse 32. He says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David also, Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the enemies. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They also wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Right. So we'll go through this almost verse by verse in your notes. And again, I gave you quite an extensive outline just to kind of help you in your study and reviewing this. You almost have all of my notes also, but let's take a look at this. By way of introduction, the section reveals the value of faith and being steadfast in faith in the midst of trials. It was interesting. I was sitting over here when Dennis started leading the singing this evening and starting to think to myself, well, I'm going to ask him to lead Living by Faith at the closing, if he hasn't led it already, in the closing song. And all of a sudden, the next song up was Living by Faith. And I thought, well, how appropriate. So one of my favorite songs in the book. So, but the definition of faith I put in your notes, firm persuasion. If you're a person of faith, you're persuaded. It means you have confidence, conviction based upon hearing God's word. You know, Romans, I didn't put this in your notes, but Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. You know, hearing God's word. It means trust, assurance, belief and response. Those kind of go together because faith doesn't stand by itself. It's an action attitude of life. If you have faith, you're going to respond to the call that God offers. If you have faith, you're going to do and obey the commands the Bible gives. Faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, we have a definition. Faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. So when you think about faith, it's not just wishful thinking. It's not just saying, oh, boy, there better be something better. No, faith is the assurance that what God has promised, He will fulfill. You believe that. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, it says, by faith, meaning Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Remember, that was the definition in verse 1 of faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's our faith. That's our hope. We rest on that. That what God has promised, there He will fulfill, and there is a heaven. It's our faith. I haven't seen it. I don't hold it in my hand. But I'm fully persuaded in all those definitions of faith. I have the confidence, the trust, that what God has said will come true. That's our faith. In verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, this is still in the introduction, it says, for by it, meaning faith, the elders or men of old obtained a good report, or they obtained divine approval or good testimony. Then the author takes us back to creation in verse 3. By faith, we understand the worlds were made or framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible, or the things that appear. The things that we see were not made by the things that we see. God created them, brought them into existence. He didn't take what was already there and then created something. No. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth out of things that were not seen. The things that are made, God created, but not from the things that we see. Next, in verses 4 through 31, he mentions many Old Testament people who exemplify faith. In verse 4, Abel. Verse 5, Enoch. Verse 7, Noah. Verse 8, Abraham. And all of these are heroes of faith, and it mentions exactly what they did. In verse 11, Sarah. In verse 13, it says, these all died in faith. In faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them. There's your definition of faith. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Verse 20, you have Isaac. Verse 21, Jacob. Verse 22, Joseph. Verse 23, Moses. Verse 31, Rahab. In verse 32, he asks a question. What more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. So he gives an extensive list for you and me to look back at people who exemplified or illustrated faith and what it looks like. Those are examples. Then in verses 33 through 38 that we read this evening, it gives a list of some of the trials they endured. All those hardships, tortures, ill treatment. There was a significant list that we just read. And then in verse 35, it says they did that to obtain a better resurrection. And then in verse 40, God has provided something better for us. So let's take a look at the betters that we have in our lesson this evening. Number one. From verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. There's our phrase. When he uses the phrase women received their dead, that was part of that list of the things that happened to them in the Old Testament. But some examples might be in 1 Kings 17, verse 17. I'll give you a list of these. I sure did. Okay. Elijah raised from the dead the son of the widow of Zarephath. In 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha raised the son of a Shunammite woman. In the New Testament, we have Jesus raising the son of the widow of Nain. And also in John chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. So there were in the Old Testament, and even in the time of Jesus, a resurrection from the dead that they had. Others, the phrase is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, others were tortured. Means torture has a very strict definition. It means that they were stretched and tortured upon a tympanum. And it means that was an instrument of torture, and Milligan gives me this information. An instrument of torture in the shape of a large drum or wheel on which criminals were stretched in order to be beaten to death with sticks and rods. So the person was just laid out on this drum or this wheel, you know, fastened to it. And by torture, it means they were beaten, being fastened to that wheel. Being tortured, they did not accept deliverance, is the next phrase. In other words, they refused deliverance that might be given if they would renounce their faith. They wouldn't do it. And that's that list of all of these Old Testament faithful and that list of the tortures that were given to them in those closing verses. They chose death rather than life by choosing, by not choosing the conditions of the heathen. Then it says, that why would they do that? To obtain a better resurrection. Better than what? What's a better resurrection? Now, put in your notes, it's an eternal resurrection rather than a resurrection to mere continuance of life here. That'd be one possibility. No, I don't want to take my life. Don't spare it in a sense of resurrection. Or it'd be the resurrection is the one of the righteous in comparison to the one that awaits the unrighteous in the great day, the great judgment day. And that probably has the strongest reasoning or argument behind it. I'm going to hold out for this eternal resurrection. I'll go through the torture. No, don't spare my life. I'll suffer this rather than renounce my faith because I have this hope of a better resurrection. They said, I'm not going to be unfaithful. I'm not going to forfeit that which is of eternal value. So they endured the torture. Better resurrection. Number two, you know, in verses 39 and 40, all these, that huge list we've just mentioned throughout the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So now he's going to put us together in some way. The better thing I listed first, what's the better thing for us? Well, it's the completion of God's work in Christ Jesus. It's redemption. Hope of heaven. They had too, but it's realized in Christ. So it might be all of these betters that we just read about. Better covenant, hope, promises, sacrifices, substance, country, resurrection. All of these that the Hebrew writer talks about. This new covenant is better. Christianity is better than all those things of the Old Testament. So that's something better for us. Interesting phrase, though. He said they did not receive the promise because they didn't want them to be made perfect apart from us. Did not receive the promise? Well, they didn't remain alive to see the coming Messiah. They died before Jesus came. So that's one way to look at it. They didn't. They told about the promise, prophesied, prophets. But they didn't live long enough to see it. So what they talked about, they didn't receive a coming Messiah. Verse 33, in the same chapter, they did receive some of the individual promises, the victory over all of these trials that they just endured, all the sufferings. Yeah, did that. The promise to Abraham was fulfilled in part. Abraham will make you a great nation. Said and done. Abraham, I'm going to give you a promised land. Land was given. But there was part of the promise to Abraham that was not fulfilled, and that was through his seed all nations would be blessed. That was still in the future. And in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11, this same chapter, says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them. But in chapter 6 and verse 15, it says that Abraham did receive the promise. So which is it? Did they receive it or didn't they? Well, they received some of it, but not all of it. So then the reasoning. Why didn't they receive all of the promise? Not because he didn't want them to be made perfect apart from us. A couple of verses. One I didn't put in your notes. I added it to my notes. In Galatians 3, verse 29, says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Oh, now we have old and new linked together. If you're Christ, you are what? Abraham's seed. Ah, Christ, Abraham's seed, come together. And heirs, according to the promise. There's that word, promise. In Hebrews 9, verse 15, now put this one in your notes. I quoted it for you. For this reason, he, meaning Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. For, why did Jesus die? Now here's the fulfillment of the promises. For the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant. That those under the first covenant, those heroes of faith we just listed in Hebrews chapter 11, that those who were called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The blood of Jesus looks back as much as it looks forward to us 2,000 years later. We're together in this. So that next phrase in the verse, verses 39 and 40, God provided something better for us that they, not apart from us, would receive. So what we now receive, they receive. Those Old Testament faithful. They told about something they hadn't received yet, but yet they saw them afar off and were assured of them in verse 13. So now Christians, us, we need to complete our journey of faith just as they did theirs, so that we all, Old Testament faithful and New Testament faithful, get to heaven together. Together. So they, not apart from us. Just as they long for the coming Messiah, we together now long for the second coming, the eternal consummation of all things. So they, not apart from us, receive redemption and inheritance. And then chapters 12, it's interesting, opens up in verses 1 and 2. Therefore we also... Who's the also? We and also. All those Old Testament faithful of chapter 11 brings us together again. Now we, in chapter 12, verse 1, we also, along with them, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us and run with patience, just like they did. See, so he brings old and new together. We are now heirs. We look forward to an eternal inheritance. Together. Together. They had that continuing sacrifice that kept going on and on and on every year till Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice and then all the sacrifices stopped. So now we're all in this together. Old Testament faithful, and you and me. Then the last one, point number 3 in your notes, says to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So just for clarification, I put in your notes, the topic in verse 24 of chapter 12 is the new covenant. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And of the blood of sprinkling that speaks. What speaks? The new covenant. It speaks better things than that of Abel. So there's the contrast in this verse between the new covenant and the old covenant. It's the blood of bulls and goats versus the blood of Jesus. It speaks better, the New Testament does.
And I just added one to you because we didn't talk about it in our series on Sunday nights. Jesus is better than Moses because he's a son in his own house, where Moses was not a son in the house. So just a reference back to Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews 10 verse 4, it says it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So the new covenant speaks better things than that of Abel, the blood of Abel. In verses 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 10, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, meaning Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 10, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Remember that word back in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40, that the Old Testament people would not be made perfect apart from us? When did that fulfill? When Jesus died. And so now he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, all the Old Testament faithful and the New Testament people. So we are not sanctified apart from them. Their faith always looked forward to what we have received. That's the meaning of that verse. And so Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, he says. In chapter 10, verse 9, he takes away the first that he may establish the second. New Testament. New covenant. And one last verse I just put in your notes just for reference. In Romans chapter 4, it says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. Dead to the law. It's no longer alive to us. The old law doesn't have influence. We don't obey the Old Testament laws and ceremonies. We have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him, and he mentions who we're going to be married to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit unto God. Verse 6 of Romans chapter 7. But now we've been delivered from the law. Now, with all these verses we've been reading on Sunday nights about what the law did with the sacrifices, annual, all the time, couldn't take away sins, bulls, blood of bulls and goats. We've been delivered from that law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Common thread we've been talking about all these Sunday nights in looking at the word better in the book of Hebrews is so much was just Old Testament versus new. And when I looked at that list again, all the betters, you know, we have a better hope, better testament, better covenant, better promises, better sacrifices, better substance, better country, better resurrection. All those things. It's better. And that's been the theme, similar theme. So.